Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. May God bless to us that very short reading. Now, our last sermon, before I had to go now, was taken up with chapter 5. That wonderful song composed by Deborah and sung by her and Barak. And it was sung as a commemoration hymn following the great deliverance from Jabin, king in Hazor, and his oppressive forces, which were headed by Sisera. The main theme of Deborah's hymn was the 10,000 men of Zebulun and Naphtali who had so willingly joined in this fight. Then she struck another note, you will remember, as the angel of the covenant inspired her to vehemently pronounce curse upon curse upon those masses of Israelites who were not men of faith at all. They came not to the help of the Lord, but they left it to a faithful few. And in all this, the lessons for us were crystal clear and so applicable to our day and age. I shall recap no further on this because as we come now to chapter 6, another judge comes into focus. The last sentence of chapter 5 must be our starting point this evening. And the last sentence of chapter 5 reads, "And the land had rest 40 years." This is following the administration of that judge, Deborah. The land had rest 40 years. And from this point, we move to chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The same weary go-round. Renewed outbreaks of depravity, followed by a further round of chastening. Now, were it not for the record of Holy Scripture, dear ones, we certainly should look upon this as well nigh unbelievable. What we are seeing in this book of Judges is not a people who had badly failed once. It is a people who are repeatedly sinning. What is more, their sinning was accompanied with the greatest possible aggravation to Jehovah. Idol worship was peculiarly offensive to God, always has been, still is, and always will be. And this is what Israel resorted to when they so ignored the commandments of God to go their own way. They served other gods, even Balaam and the groves. It was a direct rejection of Jehovah as their God. No greater insult could ever be cast into the face of the Almighty. It was to repudiate his authority, to deny his sovereign rights, to refuse him his honor, to despise his glorious perfections, to trample underfoot his law, and in consequence reject his divine fellowship. Any form of idolatry, whatever it might be, is heinous to the God of heaven. Oh, let none of us think that Israel is alone in this. It can be sadly true of any one of us in our day. You see, idolatry implies a person striking out for himself to do what he wants to do in disregard of God. That is idolatry. It is when the word and the will of God becomes a burden rather than a delight. Of Israel, we read this in Jeremiah 2 and verse 5. And the Israelites have been before us very much for many, many years as we come through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, Israel's behavior over many hundreds of years as we come through the minor prophets. What a people they were. So favored, yet so unfaithful. And of Israel we read this in Jeremiah 2 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? The Lord is saying, wherein have I done anything wrong to you, that you should turn away from me, to go your own way, walking in paths which are vain? Meaning, that which in the end will prove empty, that which will get you nowhere. Verse 31 of the same chapter in Jeremiah. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee? Listen to me, saith Jehovah. Have I been a wilderness to you? A land of darkness? You children of Israel, have you served me for naught? When you have been obedient unto me, have you not been blessed? When you have walked in my way, has not the light of my presence always been with you? Wherefore do ye say, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee? Think of it. We are lords. In other words, we are lords of our own lives. We are striking out on our own. We are well able to order our affairs. We want to live our lives as we want to live them. Brethren and sisters, this reproach applies to all, believers included. Those who give self or any other object first priority in their lives. And believers can be as guilty as this, as the unsaved. Giving self or other objects first priority. Another point to be made concerning Israel, and it is that they sinned against the clearest of light. Every possible means of instruction which that age could supply was used. Now, true, they had no printed Bibles such as we have, but they had the Red Sea. They had Horeb. They had Sinai. They had all the experiences of 40 years in the wilderness, with all the miraculous provision made for them, whatever emergency cropped up. Some 150 years had passed since then. But think of their victories over the Canaanites in the days of Joshua and of Caleb. falling of the walls of Jericho and their conquest of that city in a miraculous way. More recently, the putting down of the king of Mesopotamia under Othniel, the first judge. Then the deliverance effected by God through Ehud, that left-handed man. Think too of the exploits of that plowman Shamgar, who single-handed slew 600 Philistines with no other weapon than an ox goad. All these happenings had been told to children's children down through the generations by divine command. The Israelites had all the facts relating to the divine nature and character of God and of man's duty to him. They knew of the character of the Almighty. They knew what he required of them. The same subject matter was theirs, which goes to make up a Bible, although they haven't got one. But the same subject matter had been made known to them, who God was and man's responsibility to him. Israel had all this as living facts, events which were passing before their very eyes, happenings coming with all the vividness of personal experience. Children of Israel did not want to read of the power of God as they walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and when they reached the other side, look back to see those waters falling in upon that passage, and in consequence Pharaoh and all his hosts being drowned. They didn't need to read of it. They'd seen it. And all the many other experiences right down through their history. They knew these things from personal experience, because in it they themselves had figured. They had, as it were, an illuminated or an active Bible, which even the dullest of them should have been able to understand. And as for order in divine worship, no Israelite should ever have been in ignorance. But you see, they had no eyes to read the most understandable of Bibles. They had no ears to hear that which was spoken in the loudest of tones. Of them it had to be said, they would not come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. That's what the Lord said when he came here upon earth, speaking particularly to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. They would not come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Oh, God himself summed them up well in Jeremiah 4 and verse 22. For my people, that is Israel, is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Foolish. Sottish. It means stupid, having no sense, acting as idiots. Such is the meaning of the word sottish. This is the strongest of language, dear ones. Yet it is used by the God of Israel. And was it not true? The Bible says that God had not dealt so with any other people as he had dealt with this people. They were a called out people, separated from other nations, a peculiar people unto God for his glory. Amongst other things, Isaiah the prophet says in chapter 63 of his book in verse 7, there the prophet tells us something of the reason why God had so dealt with them. In the wondrous way in which God had dealt with this people, Israel was to make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord had bestowed upon them, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he had bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Israel was to witness to all those round and about them, to testify to the rich bounty and the blessings into which their God had brought them. Not just by lip, their whole manner of life was to manifest this. Their lives were to be different. Their lives were to be in keeping with their high calling. You see, Israel was a covenant people. They were under obligation to be obedient to their covenant head. Listen to these words in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. God himself is speaking through Moses. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that ye may be, that it might be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Exodus 24, verse 7, Moses again. Moses took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. Joshua had repeated all this in the first chapter of his book, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 16. He'd repeated the words of the book of the covenant, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. You see, these Israelites had pledged themselves before God to be obedient to him and to walk in his ways and to live to his praise and glory. Yet such a solemn engagement was violated blatantly, and that continually. As I said earlier, it was this constant sinning, this lapsing after restoration, but then sinning again after the same manner as before. It is this which makes it so reprehensible. Now, why is the Holy Spirit giving us instance after instance of this kind of conduct? Surely, one example of Israel's failures would be sufficient to convey the truth of God's grave displeasure at the sin of his people. Why lay it on in this way? Because the lesson is the same every time. And let me say right away, in answer to such a question, that the Holy Spirit does not waste words. And neither does he speak without reason. In this constant repetition of sin after restoration, this constant repetition of sin after restoration, that which is being set forth is the inveterate tendency of the human heart to sin. The Holy Spirit's not wasting words. If we find the constant repetition of the book of Judges to be boring, then there's something wrong. the propensity to go our own way is strong within us all. And this is a truth which needs great emphasis, and the Holy Spirit is well aware of it. It is a truth which runs throughout Scripture, New Testament as well as Old Testament. Paul, the Apostle, speaking in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, says this, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is why the Holy Spirit repeats the lesson again and again and again. If the Apostle Paul knew that in his flesh there dwelt no good thing, then let none of us be priggish. Again he writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, what is it? It's our natural thinking. Our natural thinking. You see, at regeneration, we don't lose the old man. We don't lose our natural instincts. That's what creates the spiritual battle within. We've still got minds which can be carnal. And if not enlightened by the Word of God, our thinking will not be right, even if we are believers. If we are not governed wholly and solely by the Word of God, the carnal mind will come into play. Human reasoning will come into the picture. That which we think rather than that which God says. And in consequence, our walk will not be right. It will be as this verse 7 says in Romans chapter 8. Our thinking will be against God. See, this is the believer in view here. If we are not subject to the law of God, not governed by His word, then inevitably we shall be in sin and we shall backslide. Now this is the great and the oft-repeated lesson of the book of Judges. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. How often have we seen it already? We haven't come very far through the book yet. But this word again, 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 keeps cropping up. And some might think that in this series of ministry, I am constantly repeating myself. But this cannot be avoided, dear ones. For how can one conduct a study of this book of the Judges without repetition? For this is how the Holy Spirit has caused it to be written. Therefore, this is how it has to be expounded. This persistence in sin but reveals the hardness in the heart of Israel. And they're not alone in it. It is as stated in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 26. They hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. They did worse. It was progressive. There was a reckless obstinacy on their part. Despite all the chastening, they still would not retain any degree of integrity and godliness. Oh, hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Amos. Those of you who went through the series of the minor prophets may remember these verses. Amos chapter 4 and verse 9. This is hundreds of years following the book of Judges, but it's the same people. Amos 4 verse 9. The Almighty says, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Persistence in obstinacy and rebellion against God. Oh, the depths of stubbornness when a person who professes to be a child of God, yet despite severe chastening, they still continue in disobedience. Ultimately, such become unteachable. They become wedded to sin. Now, this is a tragic state to get into, dear ones, but it is possible. And this book of Judges is designed to bring home to us the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the proneness of the human heart to be affected by it. It is an awful danger, and it's a danger to which we are all inclined. None of us are immune to this, beloved, but such a course will bring its own trouble. It's inevitable. It will bring its own trouble. It's like a boomerang, which a man might fling with all his force into space. But in a curious way, that boomerang will ultimately change course, and it'll return to the hand of the thrower. It's the same truth which we're seeing with the life of David. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. One commentator states this: sin carries its own punishment in its own bosom. It's there, and it'll return. You see, the simple fact is that sin is enmity to God. Because of this, it incurs penalty. And God is not mocked. God's favor is immediately lost once we embark upon a course of disobedience. That person is literally at war with God. This is what it means. You see, we read these scriptures, we quote them. Yes, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Our own thinking is against God. Well, yes, we know the verse. Carnal mind is at enmity with God. And off we go. Doesn't register. But it means to be at war with God. It's at enmity with him. And I say again, it will incur its penalty. God's favor will be lost. A person is at war. But where there is war, there cannot be peace. Well, that's stating the obvious. A country that's at war cannot be at peace. Contradiction in terms. There is perpetual disturbance where there is war. Now, sin is a perpetual disturber. God's word clearly states that there will be no peace for the wicked. There will be no peace for the wicked. Whatever the carnally minded person may think, however attractive the way of their own devising may appear, there's no rest on that road, beloved. It is as the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's beset with robbers. Just as the man in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 found out. He took that downward road. What happened? He fell among thieves. They stripped him. They left him wounded, even half dead. Yes, the Word of God says, many sorrows are to the wicked. Disobedience brings its own trouble. It is as the boomerang. We fling it into the air and we say, yeah, that commandment's far from us. But know that disobedience rests in your bosom, dear one, and it'll return to come back to the person that flung it away. Oh, none of us are to be under any illusion. The little pleasure which sin or disobedience might bring will be accompanied by much misery. And it'll be accompanied by such misery and sorrow that the pleasure will be no more than a pot of honey in an ocean of gall. Oh, beloved, sin and chastisement go together. Let these messages from the book of Judges get this principle forever embedded in our minds. Grievous and very painful as were the experiences of Israel so frequently, there was nothing mysterious about these experiences. Nothing mysterious. It was nothing other than that which they had every reason to expect. There was nothing of chance or misfortune in this. It was not that on some occasions Israel had hit a bad patch in life. No. All their sorrows and their troubles were of the Lord. All of them. Judges 2 and verse 14. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers. He caused the boomerang to return. Judges 3, verse 12. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. Judges 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord, yes, and the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin. Our verse again this evening. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. 7 years. Now, unmistakable are these oft-repeated warnings. Oh, may we, preacher as well as listener, may we all, each and every one of us, heed these warnings for our blessing, but primarily for the glory of God. Amen. Hymn number 738. 738. Lead us, O Father, in the paths of peace. Without thy guiding hand, we go astray. And doubts appall, and sorrows still increase. Lead us through Christ, the true and living way. 738. Without thy guide.
passion stains and folly dims our youth, and age comes on uncheered by faith or hope. Lead us, O Father, in the paths of right. Blindly we stumble when we walk alone, involved in shadows of a darkening night. Only with thee we journey safely on. Lead us, O Father, to thy heavenly rest, however rough and steep the path may be. Through joy or sorrow, as thou deemest best, until our souls are perfected in thee.
Our Father and our God, these words indeed would be the prayer of our hearts, that thou wilt lead us, O Father, in the paths of truth. For it is only in the paths of truth and of righteousness that we shall know that peace. It is only as we walk in those paths that we shall walk aright. And it is only in those paths that we shall bring glory to thee, or be of any help or blessing to others, let alone to ourselves. So seal this message, our God, to the hearts of all who hear it, whether now or later by means of the tape. Bless it, O God, we pray. For how needful is the teaching of the book of Judges to the day in which we live. We commit it into the invincible hands of the Holy Spirit to use it to the blessing of many. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.